بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue with the aqaid and beliefs which we should have. We did four beliefs already in which we discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this whole universe from non-existence and brought it into existence. And then we also mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anyone, and some of his attributes were also explained. Today we do belief number 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living. He has power over everything. Nothing is concealed from his knowledge. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. He hears and he sees everything. He does as he pleases. He speaks. Only he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is worthy of worship. Allah ta'ala has no partner. Allah ta'ala is kind to his servants. Allah ta'ala is the true sovereign. Allah ta'ala is free from all faults. Only Allah ta'ala protects his servants from calamities. It is Allah alone who is the owner of respect, and Allah ta'ala is the most exalted. Allah ta'ala is our creator, is the creator of everything. Allah ta'ala forgives sins. He is all powerful. He grants in abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also straightens sustenance, in other words, limits decreases sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also expands sustenance for whomsoever he wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lowers and elevates whomsoever he wishes. Allah ta'ala grants honor and disgraces whomsoever he wishes. He is the most just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most tolerant. Allah ta'ala is most appreciative of service rendered to him. Whatever good deeds we do, no matter how small in magnitude, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it and will reward us for it. Allah ta'ala accepts du'as. Allah ta'ala encompasses everything. No work of Allah ta'ala is void of wisdom. Allah ta'ala fulfills the needs of all. Allah ta'ala had initially created all, and he will create all a second time on the day of judgment. All of us will be resurrected on the day of judgment. Only Allah ta'ala grants life and death. All know him. In other words, Allah ta'ala, by means of his signs and qualities. But no one knows the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot comprehend. But we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his signs and qualities. Allah ta'ala accepts the repentance of the sinners. Allah ta'ala punishes those deserving punishment. Allah ta'ala grants guidance. He does not sleep, nor does slumber overcome him. Allah ta'ala does not tire by looking after the entire universe. Allah ta'ala maintains all things. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses all qualities of perfection. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 1 1/4 para was recited, commencing from the 2nd quarter of the 2nd para and terminating at the half of the 3rd para. The 2nd half of Surah Al-Baqarah was recited together with 2 rukus of Surah Ali Imran. The discussion of the verses commencing from the 2nd para revolves around the changing of the direction of the Qibla. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara, the Qibla of the Muslimin was Baytul Muqaddas, and which was actually the Qibla also of the Jews and the Christians. For 16 to 17 months, this is the direction in which the Muslims faced while performing Salat. However, it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart's desire that the original Qibla, the Kaabatullah in Makkatul Mukarramah, should be made the Qibla for the mu'mineen. However, the beautiful conduct and adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he did not make this request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, because perhaps Allah ta'ala's wisdom and in Allah ta'ala's pleasure was in not changing the Qibla. But however, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this desire in his heart and used to repeatedly look towards the heavens in anticipation for revelation to come down concerning the changing of the Qibla. And then after 16 or 17 months after Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, changed the Qibla of the mu'mineen to the Baytullah, the Kaabatullah. Since the Kaabatullah was also the distinguishing landmark of the deen and millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the deen of Islam is also according to the millat and the path and way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this heart's desire. Anyway, when the Qibla was changed, then those people who were the enemies of Islam, the mushrikeen, the kuffar, and particularly the Jews, they were always looking for some occasion to find fault with Islam and criticize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin. For that, this is the occasion they again found, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the beginning verses of the second para. سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Nabi sallallahu ta'ala mentions that these foolish people, they will say that what has changed them, the Muslimin, from the Qibla on which they were upon. What made them change their Qibla? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell them that every direction, whether east or west, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. No direction on its own holds virtue over another direction. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose order will be concerning a particular direction, and that will be termed the Qibla for the mu'mineen, and in which they will face when performing the salat. So when all direction belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the main thing is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, according to His wisdom and according to His will, can determine any direction to be the Qibla. And the main thing is that we have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, that to Allah ta'ala alone belongs the east and the west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many ayat concerning the same subject matter, and that which was recited last night, the first few verses, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a unique and in a very decisive manner puts an end to all these objections, wherein Allah ta'ala says that true virtue and piety is not that you face towards the east or to the west, but true piety and virtue is that you bring iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse is quite lengthy, where all the injunctions of deen are mentioned. In other words, the prerogative is not just to face in a particular direction, but the prerogative is actually to change the direction of the heart and the direction of one's complete way of life towards the obedience and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main objective. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had changed the direction of the Qibla to Baytullah, then in this lies alone the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the ayat, تَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that remember me and I will remember you. The importance of dhikrullah and the great significance of dhikrullah can be gauged from this ayat, that when we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala makes mention of us, and Allah ta'ala also makes mention of us in a gathering which is far superior, that is the gathering of the angels in the heavens. So the significance of dhikr is also emphasized in this ayat. Allah ta'ala then mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O believers, through sabr and through salat. Sabr, we should not understand sabr to be a very confined meaning, that when somebody passes away or a calamity befalls us, then we make sabr. That is just part of sabr. Actual sabr is to restrain oneself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and onto the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also at times of calamities to exercise patience and persevere and have this yaqeen that whatever happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning the shuhada, those who are martyred in the battlefield, Allah Ta'ala mentions that don't think they have, that they are dead. Bal ahya'un, they are alive. The level of hayat and life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants those who pass away, the, one of the highest levels after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam is that of the shuhada. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that adverse conditions will always come. Allah Ta'ala will put us to through trials and tribulations, through conditions of fear, of hunger, and decrease in wealth and life and crops. It is at those instances where those who persevere and make sabr, Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, clear tidings to them. Those who, whenever such conditions afflict them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that to Allah alone do we belong, and to Allah alone is our return. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of His great qudrat, and His signs of great qudrat in the creation of the skies and the earth, and in the alternation of the day and night, and the ships which sail on the waters, with those things which are beneficial to mankind, transporting of goods, and the system of the rains, and the reviving of the dead lands through the rains, and the changing of directions of the winds, and the clouds which are suspended between, which are suspended with all the water which is laden in them between the skies and the heavens. These are la ayatin liqawmi yaqilun. Allah Ta'ala, we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all his great creations, and these are signs for those people who have understanding. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse which was recited last night, laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum, the ulama have attached very great importance to this ayat, and they have called this ayat ayatul birr, and those things which are mentioned in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala, the mufassirin explained that they are called abwabul birr. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all those things which are related to the deen of Islam. Up to this point in Surah Al-Baqarah, which was about half, the primary addresses were the kuffar and the Ahle Kitab, the Jews and the Christians. But from this point onwards, the second half of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mainly addresses the mu'mineen concerning all the matters of deen, primary as well as subsidiary, and detailed laws have been mentioned in different aspects. So many laws have been mentioned that the ulama explained that, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu took 12 years just to understand Surah Al-Baqarah. In other words, there are so many laws which are mentioned here, and these laws, the details of it, obviously we cannot mention those things all now, but it shows the depth of knowledge and the type of injunctions of every aspect of our lives we have been given guidelines by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether those things are concerning our domestic life, our social life, our marital life, or whether our economical and financial part of our lives, all these things we have been given guidelines. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences these laws by mentioning the laws of qisas, that is the retaliation when a person kills another person unjustly and intentionally, then the laws of qisas apply. A very beautiful ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions here, which shows the great eloquence of the Quran al-Majeed also, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِسَاسِ حَيَاتٌ, that in qisas you are taking life, but Allah Ta'ala terms it as hayat, that it is life. That when these laws are properly applied, then it is actually safeguarding the lives of people of society. That is why وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِسَاسِ حَيَاتٌ, it has been called life in itself. Then the laws concerning fasting are mentioned. A great objective of fasting is mentioned here, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why? Because through fasting that a person learns to keep control of his nafs and his desires to such a level where a person acquires that level of purity, which is the main thing for acquiring the quality of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala grant us this quality of taqwa. This, as will be explained through the course of the month, how we should keep our rozas, that not only abstain from that those things which are prohibited, but also those things which are makruh. Then we will get that quality of taqwa through our fasting. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, I will just briefly mention all those things which are explained here concerning the injunctions of Shariat, that is the rules concerning fasting, those who are permitted not to fast, and what is the rule and regulation concerning that, then the permissibility of having relations with one's wives in the nights of Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention concerning the lunar calendar, which is the way to calculate our various forms of ibadat, and the importance of the lunar calendar is also indicated towards in this ayat, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. Laws concerning jihad, then the sacred months, and Hajj and Umrah itself, all those things are mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some laws concerning our marital life, that is concerning talaq, concerning nikah, and concerning dowry, which a person has to give at the time of nikah, and also the prohibition of cohabiting with one's wife during her state of hayd, while she is in her menses, the prohibition of that is also mentioned here. Further on, concerning nikah and talaq also, the laws of ila, where a person takes a vow that he will not approach his wife, not giving her talaq, but he will say that he will not have relations with his wife. What is the rules and regulation of that is also mentioned here. The rules and regulations concerning breastfeeding and the weaning of the child, for how long can the mother breastfeed the child, these details are also mentioned here. Towards the end of the second para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of two incidents, and the reason the ulama explained concerning the second incident particularly, where the Nabi of the Bani Israel told the people that Talut will be made, Allah ta'ala has appointed Talut as the king, and some details of that incident, because this incident was not well known amongst the Bani Israel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it here, which is also itself a proof of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not acquire the knowledge of any of these things from anybody, yet it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is indicative that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true Nabi. The third para, the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, we have given some superiority over others. All the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are on the pedestal of Nabuwat, they are equal in that respect. But amongst them, there is also the varying differences of fadilat between them. And the greatest and the most superiority Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted was to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayatul Kursi also is in the first, second ruku of the third para, the greatest ayat of the Quran Majeed, as mentioned by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith also, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself and the many attributes, some of which we had read in the Aqaid, concerning that is all mentioned in Ayatul Kursi. There are many virtues also concerning Ayatul Kursi, that house in which Ayatul Kursi is recited, shaitan flees from that house. That person who recites Ayatul Kursi after the namazes, then nothing stops him from entering into Jannah besides death. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some incidents concerning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his encounter and debating with the tyrant of the time, Namrud. Then mention is also made of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam his qudrat concerning bringing the dead to life, where Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to slaughter four birds of different types and mix their meat and put them in different places and call to them, and all of them came back to life running towards and flying towards Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident of Uzair alayhi salam is also mentioned here, whereby when he passed by a very ruined city once, which was completely uninhabited, and the people of that time had long ago passed on, and the thought came to Uzair alayhi salam, كَأَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Not that he had doubt concerning Allah's qudrat, concerning bringing the dead back to life, but he wanted to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ, Allah ta'ala caused him to die And for 100 years he remained in that state. And Allah Ta'ala then revived him. And the food and drink which he had brought with him, that did not decompose in any way. But the donkey with which he was traveling had completely decomposed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of his eyes, that donkey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it back to life to demonstrate that this is how we bring the dead back to life. Towards the end, till the end of the surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the virtues. Is like that farmer who plants one seed through, because of which 7 ears of corn come out, and in each one there are 100 seeds. So one seed eventually comes into 700 seeds. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those for those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. That is not the limit, 700. Allah ta'ala can increase rewards for whomsoever He pleases. Some etiquettes concerning spending in the path of Allah ta'ala are also explained, that when you spend, there mustn't be constant reminder, there mustn't be taunting, insulting, or causing any type of taklif to the person who you are giving. That all is also explained here. Then the person who spends through without ikhlas, and for show and name and fame, Allah Ta'ala gives that example also. It is like that person who plants a seed on rocky ground. It will grow a little bit, but one rain and everything will get washed away and he will be left with nothing. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that also. So when spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, we should be very careful that our niyat should be correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in tubdu sadaqati fani'immahi. If you spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala openly, is also very good. But if you keep it concealed, wherein there will be more ikhlas also, this is فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that is better for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention concerning the great evil of interest and usury, that those who are involved in interest and usury, they are like people, they will be brought, they will be on the day of Qiyamah brought back to life in a condition as if they will be out of their senses, like madmen, those who have been afflicted by shaitan and the jinnat. This is the way they will be brought back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, that usury and interest is something which Allah Ta'ala destroys. There is no barakah in that. And sadaqat is something which Allah Ta'ala increases. Our minds tell us through interest our wealth increases, and through sadaqah our wealth decreases. But Allah Ta'ala mentions that it is not so. It is the other way around. We should understand that these two are completely two opposite systems. Interest is based on miserliness, whereas sadaqah is based on mutual cooperation, kindness, compassion, brotherhood. And then in interest it is based on personal enrichment, whereas in sadaqah is actually generosity and giving to others. And interest creates and harbors enmity amongst people, whereas sadaqah creates love between people. So these are two completely opposite systems. We have been encouraged over and over to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to one's means. Doesn't mean a person is not rich, he cannot spend. He can also spend his 5 rand, 2 rand. Doesn't mean he has to give in the thousands and in the 10,000s. But he can spend in the path of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grants us tawfiq. Towards the end of the surah, the second last ruku, Allah ta'ala, which is the longest ayat of the Qur'an Majeed, wherein Allah ta'ala give us guidelines concerning monetary dealings, that when you buy and sell on credit, make sure that there is no ambiguity whatsoever, record it, and preferably have witnesses to the transaction also. And if you are on a journey and there is a need to mortgage any of your goods, make sure also that is also recorded. All these things I have been mentioned in this verse. And the surah then ends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us the du'as, رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. We try our best to be obedient and do everything according to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nobody is perfect. We are thrown to earth and to fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make du'a that, oh Allah ta'ala, do not seize us, do not take us to task if we forget or if we err. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions just before that, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. That no, Allah ta'ala does not burden any person more than what he can bear. Every order of Shariat, whether it's concerning inheritance or parda or whatever else, is nothing, no person can say is that we cannot do it, it is too much for us. Everything is within our scope and we can do it. Only we have to now have the himmat and the courage and take upon ourselves that we will try and do it. We will falter, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. The last two rukus which were recited last night of Surah Ali Imran, inshallah we will discuss it tomorrow.